Okay, so last year, this is today's Daf is Daf Vav, we were discussing different rishiyot for nizikin. And if you saw, we saw that sort of a machlok tanaim, it's a itani tani chatzah shushtafim chayabet. If it's a chatzah that's shared, then it would be chayav in nizikin, the chatzah she'enu shishneim ptura, that if it's not of either of them, and I explained that it was a third party's chatzah, this will become clearer today, I think. Umanda ama chatzah shel shushtafim, and there was another shita that says, actually, that in Enosh, if it's Enoshem, it was machlok with Enoshem, it's Paturul Chayev. So now Rabbi Yossi says, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Chatzer Hashutafim Chayevet, Chatzer Shishutafim Yochayav, Mashma, if it's a Chatzer Shenoshem, you'd be Patur. That seems to be the point. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Be'ana, Da'aitite Mahada. I'm bringing, if you like, a proof. Heveti Raya, the Marafulda says, from the following. The Tani Rebbe Hoshaya, Arba Klalot Tayar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Bishum Rabbi Meir. There seem to be four different klals, four different principles that the Rabbi Shimon wrote in the name of Rabbi Meir, who is called Chachamim, which is Rabbi Shita Rabbi Yochanan, which we'll make clear soon. Within Nezikin, Kol Makom Sheyesh Reshut LeNizak VeLaMazik. Any time they both have reshut to go in a certain location, Kogon Pundak, like an Inn VeChatzer Sheshutafim, or a joint Chatzer, Kedzevahem. Then we say Hashen VeRegel Pater. When it comes to Shen and Regel, see, the confusion I think in last year. Is that we started talking a little about Nezek of Shor, and then we kind of mixed in Shen and Regel as well towards the end. So here we sort of makes a bit of order, better said about this. So it says when it comes to a Pundak Katzar Shnei, when it comes to Shen and Regel, you'd be Patur. So once again, this here is talking about when it comes to, in other words, the tour in a chatzos name is really only for shen and regel. When it comes to what we call keren, this like this out of character or wild type of damage, then you'd be chayev in that situation, even in a chatzos. Importantly, I'll just show you here. The Marafulda says we're talking about a pundak that they're both staying in achsaniyot. There's guests. Everyone has reshut to be there. Nizak. That would be like the chatzar nizak v'chayav b'shen v'regel, which is what we've been saying. Chatzar shneim chayav. Aval Rabbi Meir, because we're citing here Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Meir that's called like it's patur. Because till now we've been saying chatzar shneihem, then you're chayav b'tashlumim. That was a nusach. That was a girus of the Yerushalmi all the way along. That I focused on a bit more last year and when we started this year. Now, what about the next case? Lenizak v'lolamazik, if it's in the person who's damaged, chatzer, then chay b'kol, there's no question. Shen, regel, keren, doesn't make a difference. Lemazik, if it's in the mazik's property, v'lolanezik, pater alakol. Meaning, if someone put a bag of fruit in somebody else's field, and the owner animal eats it, of course, it's your fault. What are you doing putting stuff in my field? Or if another person's animal wanders into somebody else's field and the owner of that ox, or the ox that belongs to that field, caused damage, he can say, once again, what's your shor doing in my field? Why am I responsible for any damage? However, here's where it gets interesting. Va'kol, but everyone agrees. Now, everyone agrees now is also, because before we said the Reish Shidat Rabbi Meir, the Chatosh name is Patur Chachamim, says Yechayev. But now everyone agrees if it's modim she'ein reshut lo lazeh, if it's a reshut that doesn't belong to either of them, this seems to be really aligning now with what Rabbi Yochanan said. In that situation, even though you're chatur b'chatzor b'shutafim chatzor she'ein reshut shneihem, that's when you be patur. That's exactly shit Rabbi Yochanan. That's the proof. Kogon bika v'reshut harabim v'kiyotz. Okay, that accent works out very nicely. So you come to see from this, when it comes to really keren, so this when chatzin nezek or nezek shlem if it's a muad, you're really chayev in every single reshut except reshut tamazik. And when it comes to the shen and regel, if it's in a reshut, then everyone agrees a patur. When it comes to reshut that they both got a reshut for, a shared chatzar, for example, then it's a machlok Rebbe Meir Chachamim. And quite clearly, the Chachamim, this is supports Rabbi Yochanan's pshat. Now, I just want to share one more point, though. This is the Ritbaz, because it clarifies an extra point. Because we've been talking about chatzar she'ena shneihem as being a chatzar that is belongs to somebody else. But the sefer of this part talk about chatzar shneihem is like a bika or rishos harabim. If it's like the public domain, that's also chatzar she'ena. There's a bit of confusion, at least in my head, as I was going through it. Like, when do we switch? When are we talking about what? So the Ritbaz who raised the fact chatzar she'ena shneihem means shalacher. That's what we based it on. We learned it. Explains as follows. This is the Drubam Chatite. Milashon Atza ve'aiti right matnita biyada. He brought a Mishnah in his hands, if you like. Hagam da manitin hu ela mishum da tana Rebbe Yoshai arba klalot. Koma kom sheshut lo mazik ba nazik. Kogon pundak ve'chatzar v'gyotze behem. Fine. So he brings this other breita. Aitita. He's not bringing a proof of quantity. He's bringing a breita. Va'koch achla mit his palig ahadadei de'cholok an ha-mishnah. Ken, as we said, we were explaining this according to the Mar Fulda, that was the Reish was presenting the position of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yochanan holds like our Mishnah. However, let's look at the, let's continue. Umasik ha-kolmanim she'en reshut lo lezeh v'lo lezeh, in reshut that neither of them have, if you like, it's not considered their domain. And it says kugon bika varishus a rabin de patra shen varegel. That's talking about a open field, like an open valley or something, or rishus a rabin. So that's when you patra shen regel. However, al vahad nech lekula el. But we saw previously barishusha en oshneihem. We actually saw in it was rishusha en behem according from Ritvaz, which meant somebody else's property. That was machloket. Itani tani. We saw this. Ah, so that's when's that a machlok? That's tafka. Because that's when you got the question, that's when you had to do to the drushes from the psukim whether b'ste acher or not, right? B'ste acher mikom akom, etc., etc. Masha ein can be kushes rabim. So there's another. The reason why I'm bringing this rebuttal is because there's another distinction we have to make. We made distinctions between reshut shel. Again, let's go through it again. Reshut amazik, guy's patur from everything. Reshut anizak, he's chay for everything. If reshut shel shnehem, well, we said that's a machlok rebmeir chachamim. If it's a Rishus HaRabim, then we said, or like a Bikar, some completely open area that really no one has any ownership over, everyone says, you're Patur Shen Verega. Like, what are you doing leaving a fruit in the middle of the highway, you know, type of thing. However, what we're learning here is, but before we saw there was a debate, Rishus HaEnu Shesh Nehem, and it was based on Pesukim Yetzer Shen. No. That debate is regarding somebody else's, Levi's property, we used an example, third party's property. That's when there's a debate whether you'd be chayv and shem v'regel or in that space or not. Okay? And that was based, based on the psukim we saw in last year, the debate regarding the drasha from the psukim. Okay, but I hope that clarifies all the different locations and chiyuvim, etc. Now, this is now halacha gimel. Shum kesef, shveh kesef, bifnei beitin, ba'al pi edim, bnei chorim, bnei brit, v'anash michal ha-nezek, v'anizak, v'amazi b'tashlovim. That was a bit of a mouthful, but the Gemara is going to explain all these principles that come to Nezikin. It has to be Shum Kesef, it has to be Shaveh Kesef, it has to be for Beidin, Al Pi Eidim, B'nei Chorim, or the Eidim to B'nei Chorim, B'nei Brit. We have to explain all this. Let's go through the Gemara. Shum Kesef with Shaveh Kesef. What's that coming to teach you? So when it comes to Shum Kesef, it says, Ein Omrim Tetze Para Batalit, Ela Shamin Et Ha Nechasim Beveitin. In other words, I'll just show you the Mara Fulda. He says this situation is talking about where they're both damaged one another. Right, Mazik did damage and Nizak fought back. Now, we're not going to confuse with the discussion with Baz in terms of retaliation, all these things, but I know it was a case of honest, but let's put that aside for the moment. He says, talit lamazik. In other words, what the ox attacked someone and tore his shirt, so he turned back and smashed and banged it in the eye. Machu kaze. Okay, we don't say okay, your ox was damaged, my shirt was torn. Let's call it a day. We don't say that. It's shum nezek. We work out what's the value of the damage one person caused, what's the value the other person caused, and let's look at the difference. And the difference has to be compensated, whichever one obviously is in debt to the other. Okay, that's what it means. Okay, as we explained. Now that's the case of shum nezek, shum kesef. Sorry. Now what's shave kesef? Milamed she'ein beitin shamin ela nechasim sheyesh lemachariot ve'im tafas nezek ve'metaltim shamin lo mehem. Now this needs a bit of work, Because what it seems to suggest is when Beitin come to extract money, they'll only do so by taking it, the Shaveh Kesef he paid, from land and not from Metaltalin. The reason why then his work is because that, according to the Bavli, really only applies to a particular case. So let's again look at the Marafolda. Because then, again, Shesha Marchuri Brits Karka. It says, Masik Bavli, we're talking about Yatomim. De'i Shavagavon de Mazik Mekarke. In other words, the father who was the Mazik left land. Gabe Minehu. That's when you can collect that of a Metaltlin law. Meaning the Yorshim have to pay back. And you don't take from their metaltlin. Why? The metaltlin diatme lo mishtabil lebalchov, because the metaltlin, there's no lien on the metaltlin to pay the balchov back. Only you can only take it from land. The ikla meimar, because one can say lacham mitaviv kenaum, because it's possible to say that maybe all this metaltlin was purchased after the father passed away. That's the rationale. So we're talking about a very specific situation, a specific case where the mazik was niftar and the yorshim are now paying, if you like, the debt for compensation. That's only taken from land. However, the Gemara says, v'im tafas, now tafas normally means if they just took it anyway. But just to be careful, so that would mean if tafas nizak metaltlin shamin lo mehem. What this means now, again, according to the Bavli, means no. Im tafas mechayim, if the nizak took some metaltlin during the life of the father, the chayavuhon, then shamin lo mehem. Then you can say, okay, they can collect the funds. Why? Because you no longer have that concern that maybe they purchased this property after the father passed away, because he sees that while the father was still alive. So again, we're talking about a very, very specific case. In the case of Yatomim, they passed away and they need to pay the father's debt of because of the hezek that was caused, and that's only taken from land and not metaltlin for the reasons I've already explained. Now, the next is bifnei beitin, meaning the shuma has to be done before beitin mumchim melamed she'ein shamim ela bifnei beitin. So the whole estimation evaluation is to be done before Beitin. Now, Al-Pi Edim, simple understanding is Al-Pi Edim means that the Nezek has to be paid by way of, if it were, there were Edim to it. Okay? She'ein Shamim Ela Al-Pi Edim. So it has to be the proper trial, if you like, with Edim. He heard him, hear him, and therefore has to pay. Or B'nei Chorim, meaning that it seems to be here the Edim of B'nei Chorim or B'nei Brit. Yatzul Goyim Va'avidim Psula Edot. That based on psula edut, then you wouldn't have to. There wouldn't be a payment, and it says v'nashim bichlal nezek. That was the next statement in the Mishnah. Nashim bichlal nezek means lefishalot. Again, so to explain here, lefishalot tafas hakatov ella et ha'ish tzarich labot v'edisha. So to explain this, because the pasuk says ha'ish. I'll just before the pasuk, but you go shor ish et shora ehu. You might think that oh, it said ish. Ish is usually a term that means all male. So therefore, maybe a woman is in the parasha of Nezik, she doesn't have to pay Nezik. So therefore, that Mishnah had to go out of its way to tell us, no, that also Ish is in the parasha of Nezik, and she's chayev, and also has to be compensated either way. Okay? So Tan Rebbe Yishmael, ve'ela mishpatim asher tiasim lifneihem. The purpose, this pasuk is important because it teaches us that tasim lifneihem, meaning the dinim of Nezikim, isha, ish le'isha shaveh l'kol ha'onshin. When it comes to all punishments and compensation, things like that, that there's no gender differences. Okay. The Nizak and Mazik b'tashlumim, what's the situation where the Nizak and the Mazik are both, if you like, this is the last statement in our Mishnah, in a sort of very, very brief, dot-pointed Mishnah type of thing. That's referring to b'mashalmi chatzi nezek. Okay? Mikan she mechatzi nezek. And it says, Mikhan sheze mafsid chetzi nezek, veze mafsid chetzi nezek. Now, to explain this, we're talking about a case of a carrot. Once again, one person's ox caught another ox, and it's to pay chetzi nezek. Now, there's a general debate to understand why does he only have to pay chetzi nezek? Like, what's the core of what should it be? So, there's two ways the Bavli discuss it. One is chetzi nezek knas and chetzi nezek mamon. So one way to understand is, look, he really should be paying the full amount. But, you know, no one expects their ox, who's been tame and beautiful animal for a while, to suddenly spontaneously get triggered and start and goring. So the Torah is chas. The Torah is, if you like, has compassion on the individual and says, okay, this is a crazy thing, and just pay half. The other way of understanding is, no, really he's not chayiv anything, but the Torah applies a knas to pay half. Right, it goes completely out of control. No, it's nonetheless, you have an animal, you still got to look after it, type of thing. There's two ways to understand it. It seems to be here the fact that they're both contributing here, the way the mission describes it, they're both hanizak v'masik b'tashlumim, they're both, if you like, contribute to the payment, seems to suggest that the understanding is the chatzin nezek is a is mammon, is actually payment. And the Torah's chas, if you like, was lean on the person to say, look, only pay half, and therefore the nizak effectively pays half. Okay, so I'll just show you here once again. This is the Marfulda. Nachashim kula nezek shizgul, machatzin de nezek. Mikancha machatzin de nezek means you look at the full damage and you halve it. She'enu masha mechatzin katam. Va'af agav dechatzin nezek mamonu. O berinu de shalem kol nezek. This is despite the fact, if you like, the chatzin nezek is really, nezek should have been full payment, and he really should pay the full man. Ela dechas rachman ale, like explained, dekati lo iya de shora, because his shore, really, it's just completely out of the blue. This is not, this shore has never done any damage before. Okay? So therefore we find, it says, bababli nimtzad shigama nizak mafzit chatzin nezek kol kadamasek, if you like. And the nizak also, if you like, pays because it being by not being fully compensated. Okay, so that's how you understand that piece. Mikan machatzin et nezek, or mikan sheze mafsid chatzin et mafsid chatzin et, both lose a bit. Okay, this is now halacha dalet. Chamesha tamim v'chashem chamisha muadim. There are six tam and six muad. Okay, so what are the cases? Habeima, what are the cases is of really tam v'chatzin ezek? That's where an animal, a normal, you know, normal animal, like a cow or things like that, is enu mu'edet lo ligach, lo ligof, lo lishoch, lo lirbot, v'lo livot. Meaning it's not the way of animal to start goring, to start, we're talking about, again, cattle, things like that, or of rats sort of crushing with the body, ramming, lo lishoch, biting, lirbot is to trample on, or lo livot to kick. However, what are the five mu'adim, where we're full compensation expected? Well, Hashem mu'edet lechol ataro'ila. When it comes to shen, an animal is expected to eat whatever it's food that's meant to be eat. We'll get to that. Haregel mu'eret l'shaber derech halicha. That again, regel, it's way, what's considered mu'ad, if it breaks in the course of its normal walking. Shora mu'ad, if we're talking about a shore that is a habitual damage and it's been warned, or that's a case of a full mu'ad, you have to pay the full compensation because now you know your animal's a crazy animal, so you better be guarding it. The shorah mazik b'shut nizak, also shorah mazik b'shut nizak, and final one is adam. Now shorah mazik b'shut nizak we'll get to in a moment, because it seems to suggest, and this is what the Gemara will basically explain, that even in a case of tam, if he goes into somebody else's field and does damage there, in other words, b'shut ha nizak, not in like the highway or anything else, mamash went to the shut nizak, that's when he'll be chayv for damages, and the final one is adam. Meaning Adam is kedmua de olam. Full compensation has to be paid. Okay, so let's look at the Gemara. Chamisha tam yichash mu'adim. The Gemara just picks up on that point that I mentioned. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, that Mishnah must be Rabbi Tarfon here. Because he says, Bershut HaNizek, Rabbi Tarfon says, even a case of Keren, he has to pay Nezek Shalem, whereas Chachamim disagree, Vechamim Chatzin Nezek. Okay. However, there are other animals that are considered wild animals from the beginning. And they would, and these we'll see here that there actually was a history of people trying to domesticate these type of animals. So Hazev is a wolf, Ari is a lion, Hadov is a bear, Namer is a leopard, and a Bardalus is probably a cheetah. Vanachash, they are all mu'adim. They're all considered mu'adim. Okay? Full compensation. Only if you have one of these animals, you can look after them. Rebbe Elazar Omer bezman shem b'nei tarbut einu mu'adim. But if he says no, if they've actually been properly domesticated, meaning they've been raised, if you like, from a cub, and then it's not considered a mu'ad. Which is interesting, by the way, because I remember hearing this from Nathan Sifkin, that when it comes to bardalas, the cheetahs generally don't attack human beings. Okay, it's very rare for them to attack human beings. So why would you say mu'ad? But what's interesting, I think I remember hearing this, I tried to look up his encyclopedia, but he didn't mention it there, but... Well, he mentioned some of the points, but not the point I think I remember hearing from him, is that the problem is once they become familiar with human beings, they can actually become more dangerous. Okay? That's ironically can become dangerous. So that's why it's interesting here that, which is not the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, it seems to be the Chachamim. So if one has a baradalas, it actually makes it more dangerous than the Muadim. I think that's why he explained this Mishnah, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Hanachash. However, the nachash is mu'ad la'olam. Nachash is always considered dangerous. The ma ben tam la'mu'ad, what's the difference between a tam and a mu'ad? Says, ela sha tam mishlem chatzin ezek v'gufo, ba mu'ad mishlem nezek shalem min aliyah. Meaning, once again, when it comes to a tam, damages are paid, which is half damages, and it's paid migufo, meaning, just wait, I don't think we've explained this yet, yet, but I assume you already know this, that when it, let's say one ox causes damage to another ox, and let's say kills it, and or it's a certain amount of damage, and sorry, he kills it, sorry, and he has to pay, you know, half the funds of that of whatever's the difference between, say, the carcass and the full animal. Those funds are extracted from the ox that did the damage. That's migufo. Whereas if it's mu'ad, it's paid no matter what. Okay, fine. Now the Gemara says, hazev v'ha'ari. By the way, min aliyah means the idib shebenachasav, as we explained, the best property. Okay, let's continue. Hazev v'ari tani Rebbe Meir omer af hatzavua. Now, tzavua is a discussion, a bit about what it exactly is as well. But one pshat I saw is that it's a hyena, actually. So he adds that as well. So Amar Rav Yossi bar Avin lo Amar Rav Meir ela betzavua zachar. Hyena referring to a male one. Sheshlo shashu kashekare, because that can be as dangerous, if you like, as a lion, the male versus the female. Okay, so that's a discussion, understanding what Rameer added and sort of restricting its scope. With that, we say Adrach Perak Abba Avot Nezikin, Adrach Perak Abba Avot Nezikin, Adrach Perak Abba Avot Nezikin, and Mitzvah Hashem. Tomorrow we will start the second Perak.
And
Gold.
check with Slifkin.
Sorry.
Slifkin can clue you in on all that.
Yeah, I looked it up. That's what I say. I'll look it up. So that's why the Vardalos I said was a cheetah, and in his book he says that Savua is a hyena. Okay, I said it. So,
Thank
Carlson.
you. Thank you.